You may have seen a new magazine around the region as of December. It's called Freya, and it's being presented as a true celebration of womanhood in all its phases, specifically for women around here, but also for women pretty much anywhere, written by female writers here in the Kootenays. Freya launched its first issue again in December. Its second issue is due out in the next couple of months. Patricia Smuga is the founder and editor of Freya magazine, and she joins us today. Morning, Patricia. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You bet. I guess first question, the magazine's name is beautiful. Why did you choose Freya? What does that mean?
That's a great question. So in picking the name for the magazine, I wanted to embody certain characteristics of the female spirit. And I thought about the wolf as an animal that resembles many of those traits, strong, loyal, fierce, intelligent, resourceful, nurturing, and wild at heart. And I also wanted to tie in a part of the Kootenays with the name. The Valhalla specifically are very close to my heart. And when I was researching names of different mountain peaks in the Valhalla ranges, Freya came up as one of them. And Freya is actually one of the Norse goddesses.
Right.
So it just kind of fits together quite well. And I love the way it sounded and how it brought those components together.
That makes a lot of sense. So I'm wondering what magazines, sites, or podcasts do you see as having the same sort of tone and integrity that Freya aims to achieve? I wonder what other women's media products have inspired you, because there's a lot of them out there now.
I mean, in terms of magazines that initially inspired me when I created the brand, I would say KMC was the first one to come to mind. And I'm sure with your past experience working with KMC for so many years, you would agree. The content and the audience is definitely different between Freya and KMC, but there were definitely parallels that I drew from when I created the brand for Freya. I really love the classic coffee table collectible feel and that timeless nature that you get from reading Kootenay Mountain culture. And that was the same type of quality product that I wanted to put out there as well. But in terms of women-targeted magazines, I don't think there was a lot that I found with a similar tone and integrity. Two that come to mind would be, one of them is called Galdem, and it's an online and print publication that tells the stories of people of color and marginalized genders. And the other one that stands out is called Womankind, and you can read this one online. I think it originated in Australia, but it's currently distributed worldwide. And both of these magazines are about telling stories that really matter with integrity and true intention. And that's exactly what we're doing.
And what were the names of those again, Freya? The first one was Womankind, or the second was Womankind. What was the spelling on the first one?
Galdem. G-A-L dash D-E-M.
Galdem. Interesting. Okay. We'll check those ones out. You're new to the media industry, and I'm wondering, how long did it take you to get the business idea rolling? How did you do it?
Well, it happened quite quickly and organically, actually. I think as soon as I thought about putting together a magazine for women and kind of identified that niche, it just really snowballed into reality. I remember putting a general Facebook post back in May of last year, just looking for women that wanted to be part of this project and as writers, but without much details. And the response that I received was overwhelming.
Wow.
So I think for me, that was it was a clear affirmation that this was definitely a niche that needed to be explored.
And I mean, starting your own business in any industry, in any sector, is daunting. Why did you decide to jump into media? Because that's not actually your background, is it?
No, definitely not. I mean, I think it was more of the passion that I've always had for writing that brought the idea forward, but I didn't know exactly where to take that. And I found the idea of building a community of women that were all writing and working together would be more of a avenue that I wanted to take with my writing.
So I guess the question, if people haven't seen it, the first issue is out. Must have been super stressful, but also very exciting, especially in light of the fact, you know, you're launching a new business in the midst of a pandemic. How did that first issue go?
I would say the first issue was a great success. We definitely received a lot of positive feedback, despite the fact that we launched with limited resources and in the midst of a pandemic. I personally had a lot of doubts and apprehensions putting it out there, being so inexperienced in the business and definitely a perfectionist. And I wanted to keep pushing the launch date until I felt like it was as perfect as I wanted to be and until I felt really ready. But I realized that day might never come, so I just had to put it out there and the best way that I could and then keep building on that. And that's basically what I did. I think now it's just about climbing that steep learning curve and building my skills and my team and with each new issue improving and evolving as best as we can. And I think if I would offer any advice to someone that has a similar dream of starting something, that might feel a little too foreign and scary because you don't have the full set of skills that you need, I would say just to do it and do it the best way that you can and keep learning and improving. Because I think that fear of not being perfect or good enough really hinders so many artists from ever trying. But we all have to start somewhere, and I don't think it's about perfection. It's just about that passion and dedication that you're willing to put into something that you believe in, and you just have to take that leap.
That is great advice. Very true. Just take that big first step, and you're off to the races. Can you talk just super quickly about some of the stories in the first issue and some of the contributors?
Yeah, definitely. So in the first issue, the stories are written exclusively by our core team, except for the Youth Voices piece. And what we really wanted to do was make a strong stance on what we stand for from the very beginning, which is an exclusive community to all, one that amplifies the voices that are marginalized and underrepresented, one that speaks up for the environment and the values of those that have lived here for thousands of years. So some of the stories in the first edition are about some incredible climbers in our community, about the way that female-owned small businesses in the Kootenays have pulled together through the pandemic. It features Marilyn James and her powerful story of her life and the activism that she's done. Mm-hmm. And, I think many others that are quite inspiring and thought-provoking.
Who are some of the writers that we should look for in the latest issue and in issues ahead?
Well, I'm one of the writers as well as the editor. We have José Goulet, we have Chris Diley, Sarah Beauchamp, Lexi Armstrong, and Darcy O'Hearn, so that's our core team. And then from now on with each consecutive issue, we're always accepting contributors. So for the next issue, we have quite a few contributing writers as well. And I'm always always open and looking for new writers that want to be part of the team and want to share stories and join the community.
We'll let people know how to contribute if they're interested at the end of the interview. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Patricia Smuga, who's founder and editor of Freya Magazine. Patricia, you've got an interesting business model. It's very philanthropic. Why have you chosen to donate significant profits from the business to both the Sinaiks Indigenous peoples and mental health resources in the community?
So at the heart of this project and this magazine is really my genuine intent of putting something positive back into the world and into this community. So when I thought about the various avenues that I could choose, those two were the ones that really struck a chord for me. So I believe that as Canadians and humans in general, we have a limitless capacity towards evolution. And I don't think we can truly move forward until we've acknowledged and reconciled with the past. So this is an issue that, of course, deserves its own segment, and I won't take too much time to delve into it.
It's a deep one.
But what I want to say is that I think learning about the history of this land that we live on and profit from and about the effects of colonization that are still a very much lived experience for the Sinaiks people is not just important, but it's paramount if we want to practice the values that we preach. And if we truly want to work on reconciliation, I think it's time to recognize the people whose territory we're on and to demonstrate solidarity through our actions and through the creation of these relationships. Mm-hmm. We're willing to take the shade off the fact that these people were declared extinct and that what we have is because of the Sinaiks who are still living under that horrific declaration of extinction. So I believe that's very important work.
Thinking and high aims for sure.
Yes. And the second part, I think, is also an avenue that I find extremely important. There's this beautiful quote by Gandhi that says, "A nation's greatness is measured by how it treats its weakest members." And I would expand on that to say that I think by lifting up those who are in need of our help, we lift up our entire society. So mental health, I think, is at the core of everything and the way we function as a society and as individuals, and by ensuring that everyone has access to the resources that they need to become the best versions of themselves and to be productive members of the community, I think we can elevate all other levels of our economy, our healthcare system, interpersonal connections, just everything else. So to me, those two causes just seemed as the most essential in the work that I want to put forth with creating a positive change.
It's a great conversation, Patricia. You've got lots of interesting things to say. We're running a little short on time, but I did want to ask you, you've got an interesting career background. Quickly, where are you from? How'd you get here? And what were you planning on doing for a career as opposed to being a magazine publisher and writer?
Well, I was born in Romania, and I immigrated to Canada when I was 8. So I spent most of my school days in Ontario. I grew up playing chess professionally,
yeah,
which back in the day was not as cool as it is nowadays. and then I went back to Europe in my 20s for medical school. So that was my education. However, with COVID and just different life situations, I ended up closing the door on my medical career last year, which is when I kind of made the switch and thought about the magazine industry and mm-hmm. started that. And I also incidentally went back to school last fall, and I'm currently studying physics and astronomy.
Just some light sidebars, some physics and astronomy on top of everything else. Eh? I've got to ask you about the Queen's Gambit. Everybody's been watching. It's all about chess. I think back in the 50s or 60s. I have not watched it yet. Is it though a realistic reflection of the game and its pressures? And I guess more to the point, why has chess become so popular?
Yeah, I've definitely had a lot of people mention that movie, and I haven't watched. I think only a couple of episodes as well. I think there's some things in there that are realistic. Definitely that psychological drama and the energy and the competitive nature of tournaments is quite realistic. While others, like the way that she was visualizing the board on the ceiling when she first learned how to play it, I think it's not very realistic. It takes a lot of time and effort and dedication and a lot longer, to put towards, actually becoming a professional or a very strong chess player. Another thing that I would relate to that is as a young female player and what was when I was playing and even nowadays, I guess, a more heavily male-dominated world, that's definitely realistic as well. And I think that's starting to change nowadays, and it's great to see more females learning how to play chess and getting into the game.
And speaking of being a female in a male-dominated world, you are a mom of three, highly motivated professional, obviously. How the heck do you stay balanced and healthy with all this going on, Patricia? It's a lot to do.
Well, honestly speaking, I think some days I do it with a lot of grace, and on other days I think I'm just a meltdown short of rocking myself in the corner. It's not easy.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. I think it helps that I'm truly passionate about the things that I'm doing, and I really love all of my projects, and even my kids on most days. And I stay very organized. I have two agendas and a giant whiteboard, and I keep track of all of my commitments, and I'm very scheduled, which is definitely a crucial for me. I think in my free time, I try to spend a lot of time outdoors and in the mountains, which I find really recharging for my heart and soul.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, one huge lesson for me was to accept that I really can't do everything perfectly, and sometimes my best just has to be good enough,
mm-hmm.
even
mm-hmm.
if it's not as good as I would like it to be. And sometimes I have to say no when I really feel like I can't take on any more responsibilities. And other than that, probably coffee, a lot of coffee.
Patricia, real pleasure to speak to you, and I'm looking forward to seeing how Freya does the first issue.
Thanks,
of the box.
Darren.
Yeah, great first issue.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're really welcome. That is Patricia Smuga, who's founder and editor of Freya Magazine. You can find it at 40 locations in Nelson, Revelstoke, Cranbrook, Creston, Crawford Bay, over in the East Kootenays, Kimberley, Golden, up the valley, Salmo, Rosslyn. A copy or subscription might be just perfect for Monday, because, of course, it is International Women's Day. You can check out Freya Magazine Kootenays on Facebook for more details if you're interested in getting a copy or maybe contributing a story.